This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. This week, I sit down in person in Beverly Hills with the Uchino family. We talk about what it was like for each of them to start martial arts, what it's like to be a father, son, and daughter team teaching martial arts, and the big things going on with their programs in Japan. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and today I'm sitting in Beverly Hills interviewing one of my favorite groups of people on the planet here. It's a family, and I remember exactly when I met you guys, but I don't remember the year. I know it was at the Inosanto Academy, and I think I had come in a little bit late for a Thursday morning class. Ended up doing a demo in class with Christopher Bruce at the time, and then the father of this family had actually seen us demo, and apparently we did something right, because he said, hey, I want you to do a lesson with my daughter. And I'm like, okay, no problem. And so we had her come out and then train, and then eventually his son came in. So this is the Uchino family, and so it's Takashi and Yutaro, right, and Hikari, If I get it correct, as I'm always trying not to mispronounce foreign names and foreign words, or at least foreign to us in English. And they're from Japan, and they have a very interesting program over there. And we're going to learn a lot about them today. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this. Yeah, this is going to be fun. We got a little bit of international, and hopefully some of you audience here, you'll get to hear some Japanese language as well, because I think they're going to...
Yeah, I'm going to have to probably translate a little bit, because my son is not really good at English.
No, he's way much better at English than... No, he's very good. Yeah, you guys are actually very good. I think you're just a little self-conscious, but you don't need to be. You know, you've always communicated, I think, with myself and all of us at the Academy quite well. So very happy to have you guys. You've become very good friends over the last several years, and I look forward to every time you guys are here to visit. And this time you stayed quite a while.
Yeah, I stayed myself. I think it's over 7 months straight. Wow. And every day I train at the Academy.
And then the kids have come back and forth a few times.
Right, my son's been like 4 months.
3 months.
3 months to 4 months, right.
Wow.
My daughter is?
A month.
Right. Just this time. But you kind of come back and forth, and because they run some businesses over in Japan, including a martial arts school, and it's really a pretty amazing thing that we'll hear about. But before we go too much farther, I want to congratulate all three of you, because all three of you have in the last 3-4 months, for October for you, Takashi, and then March here for both of you kids, you've all gotten your instructor credentials under Grudan and
Osaka. Oh, thank you.
So
Thank you.
These guys.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. These guys are just phenomenal martial artists, and it's well-deserved that they've into that program and got that qualification now, so... I guess let's just kind of begin at the beginning. How did you guys get involved in martial arts?
Father starts. Okay.
Sure, of course.
Well, I was in elementary school, like a third grade, fourth grade. I started Shotokan karate first, and as usual, the kids have a lot of interest, and I faded away and started a Shorinji Kenpo in high school.
Wow.
When I was like 17, 18. And then I went to the U.S. I started doing, I think, some Taekwondo guys. I worked out. And then I met Rick Fay in 1980, 83 or so. in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and started doing Kali and Jeet Kune Do under him. And a year later, I met Guru Inosanto because Rick Fay had a seminar, Dan Inosanto seminar in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. That was the first time I met him, and then probably in 1984, something like that. Ever since I started, I've been with
got hooked on that.
Oh yeah. Anything else? I just focused on Kali, and especially Kali, I really, really like. I
think
it's a really enjoyable martial arts, and it's very special to me. So
very cool. Okay, who's next?
Okay. I started maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I had ryoki. Sick.
なんか日本語で言うやん、俺や
そう。多分体が弱かった。
He was kind of he had some asthma.
Oh really?
When he was little, so he didn't really he wasn't too healthy when he was kids.
You never know looking at him now. He's a very healthy looking young man.
Now he is. 今は健康的です。
Yes. で、気が弱くて、
and I wasn't really mentally too strong. I didn't really like the athletic sports and stuff, you know. But
その時に父から格闘技を学び出しました。
Then I suggested to do some martial arts and I started teaching then for his health, the recovery.
Now, did you start studying with your dad, or did you start in a different martial arts?
父が初めての先生ですか？格闘技。
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Boxing.
Boxing. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I started teaching him boxing first because it's pretty hand motion and it's simple to kind of teach, and he really enjoyed it. Okay.
Very cool. Excellent. Okay. Young lady's turn. Yes.
I started martial arts in 2012 when I was 14 years old, because イテンのさオープニングに出るっていうのを言ってる。
We had one gym, and then I had two gyms in Osaka at that time, and then there was the opening of the second gym in 2012, and there was a big event. A lot of people came, and we wanted to do some exhibition. Mm-hmm. And she, I asked, you know, she was in a part of it, and she started from there.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah. So you started at 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kali.
Oh wow!
Kali first.
So
yeah.
Straight into FMA.
Right. Okay. FMA. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. So it does. I guess, you know, we probably have different impressions, obviously, in the United States. So obviously, Japan's a country that's just loaded with martial arts tradition and all kinds of different martial arts. Is it part of, say, like a physical education program? Like if you're in your regular public school, do you get taught martial arts, say, part of what we would call a gym class? 日本では
武道を授業の一環として教えてますか？
A little.
A little.
Yeah, a little bit.
Judo.
Mm-hmm.
Kendo.
Kendo.
Yeah, I just a few hours. Yeah. Like it's not like not even once a week or something. It was just a prerequisite of physical education.
Oh, that's interesting.
We were obligated to take it. I didn't like it, but they did it on the hard floor of judo.
Yeah,
that was really hard. I didn't want to take it, but in those days and back in really, really like 1970. Four, they didn't have mat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember I had two high school friends that were also in judo as I was in karate. So they taught me how to fall, and they taught me a few of the throws, and we pulled out a very thin mat. And it was okay as a teenager when I didn't weigh that much, you know. And but I took a couple of falls too, just as we were demoing on the hard floor. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
No, that was probably another reason why I started doing some jujitsu stuff, the groundwork.
Yeah.
Kind of, I postponed it quite a bit because I focused on boxing, standing martial arts to begin with, you know. And maybe it was so much painful to fall and on the hard floor, and I just didn't like it, the judo, very much.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, there's a thing about hobby practice, and you don't really want to get messed up
for, right,
you know, things you have to do in real life for that.
Yeah.
So what was it about, say, the FMA that it seemed to be a kind of common attraction for all of you? So what was the attraction to that? I mean, especially considering, again, you're coming from a country with a very rich tradition in martial art, and you're kind of reaching out into something that's different. I mean, for us, it's not, like in America, that's not a big deal, because we're looking at the whole palette, you know, 100%, because none of it's necessarily coming from America, so we're going, okay. And it all, in a sense, either came from American military guys coming back from different countries and teaching, or it was from immigrants coming from different Asian countries teaching martial arts. So, you know, we got a whole buffet. So it's interesting that you guys were looking at something that was, say, Filipino martial arts. And why was that the big attraction?
いや、武道の中では日本でいろんな武道ある中で、まあ、非常に異質な狩りを私たちのうちの家の中では狩りを選んでる、まあ、FMA も選んでるっていうのは、まあ、そこはなんか理由があるのかっていうところ。
Because of him.
My dad. Yeah. Oh, because of your dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good influence.
日本に初めて狩りを伝えた第一人者なので、もうずっと気づいたら狩りを学んでいました
。Well, yeah.
Okay, he said he is, my dad is the one who was spread the kari and jikundo in Japan. And yeah, that's why we were the, we had a many opportunity to know kari. And
Right.
Well, actually, in those days, like 1980, early 80s, something.
Yeah, it was
when
rare,
I,
right?
And when I brought Kali, then nobody was doing Kali. So actually, I don't know, but a lot of, right now, media talk about me and just I'm the first one to bring the Kali. That's why I got a visa in the United States.
Oh, that's great.
Because of that. But anyway, that's the influence in the beginning. That was always, you know, practicing Kali.
And for them, accessibility. So they have accessibility to you, and you're the teacher of that.
Right. Actually, with him, for health purposes, and I try to teach boxing, because he has asthma, right? And I started teaching Kali as well. And she was doing something else, like a dance stuff, you know, to begin with. And which was fine. But he really completely became healthy by doing some boxing as well as Kali blend together. He just completely recovered both mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how fast, you know, you look at the guru teaches kids class and how fast they change.
Yeah.
It was dramatically fast. He improved and he changed quite a bit.
These are great stories here, because, I mean, we do talk about the health benefits, both physical and mental, from this martial art. And sometimes, you know, it sounds anecdotal, but, you know, you can just point to case after case after case. You know, I don't have a definitive study in numbers, but, you know, I keep meeting people, you know.
Obviously, some Kali has a lot to do with some brain improvement, or synapse is would be well connected.
Right
to left. I don't, I'm not an expert, but there's something going on.
Yeah.
Especially with my daughter. Mm-hmm. She was actually late start for private school to challenge, you know.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty difficult to pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
She started almost like a year before. Normally, kids start like 6 years before the entrance exams, you know. But she started less than a year or something, and she was doing Kali.
Yeah.
Her level of focus was so high, I thought. I was very impressed.
Wow.
She was in sixth grade. She studied until like 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I was the one who had to teach, you know, some of the basic math and stuff like that. And just the matter of just a couple of months, and I wasn't able to answer her questions because it was so difficult.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was just going and she was focusing on it, and she passed the test, and she got into a very, very well-known school. I do believe it's because of Kali.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so really Kali has a lot to offer in Japan for especially kids and the elderly like me.
Wow. And that's what you're doing. I guess we can kind of bridge into that. I mean, so you like this stuff enough that you took it back to mm-hmm. Japan from, and you were here for university, if I understood right.
Yeah, University of Minnesota.
University of Minnesota, yeah, and that's where you met Rick Fay.
Rick Fay and Rick Nelson and David Leach, yeah.
Wow, so, you know, a little all-star team
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we were nothing those days. Like young, little you know. Greg was getting a lot of interesting trouble, by the way.
I can believe that.
I don't know if I should say that, but he was so much. We trained every day, and... he was great and a great wrestler. Mm-hmm. He went national, and he was a great guy. And because we lived right across the street,
okay,
so we just worked out, you know, every day. Yeah, it was great. But when I was in Japan, Rick came every once in 2 years or 3 years, you know. So I had to preserve what he taught me
mm-hmm.
because we forget, you know, we videotape, but it's hard to train by ourselves, you know. So that's how I came up with the rhythm boxing.
Yeah, well, that's smart. And then you know you got two built-in training partners here with your kids.
Yeah, when they were little, they didn't listen to me too well.
Well, that's normal.
You know, that's how it goes, you know. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. So
that's normal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, you know, you took this back then and you made a business. You made a very interesting business. And I definitely want these folks to talk about this a little bit because when I first met you, you told me about it. And it was interesting as I was trying to kind of gather the concept of what it was. And I'm thinking, okay, I kind of understand. And then I think it was you that showed me when I trained you, Higuri, when we came to the park and trained with us, you were kind of showing us some video, I think, on Instagram about what it was. And to me, it looked like a rock concert. I thought it was a TV show that you guys had because it's lit like a professional TV show. You have this lit stage. And then I see all these people playing drums and music, and I'm like, whoa. And it looked like I saw a big crowd, and I thought they're all kind of pumping their hands like it was a concert. And then when I look closer, no, the hand pump was punching. And I'm like, no, they're working out. And so I told Chris, I said, looks like a big deal, whatever this is. I said, Takashi described it to me, but what I'm seeing is like even more colorful, I think, is the best and energetic than what I had thought. So I knew it was something really neat the moment you showed me the video. And it's still hard for me to describe it other than saying it's really cool, which doesn't help an audience that much. So I'm going to let you guys describe what it is that you've created here with Rhythbox and your whole method.
You know, when I first brought the Kali in Japan for the first time, and nobody knew. And not many people showed interest because I showed a six count.
Yeah.
And they were complicated. They turned off. They said, this is too sophisticated. So they didn't really want to do it. Only a very, very core people that they work for me right now, those people about over 30 years ago, lasted. So I had to come up with something that would be simple. And I targeted the ladies, non-martial mm-hmm. artists, people,
mm-hmm.
to teach Kali what should I do. So I came up with the simple method, which is called, I use a rhythm, taiko, mm-hmm. music, and it's called rhythmic boxing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have any name of Kali, but I just, because people, rhythmic and boxing, everybody knows.
Right.
So that's, so everybody can come over and get a training, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I connected it with loss of weight and stuff.
Of course.
Weight loss program, and well, here you go. I mean, that was a big hit. Yeah, we had a regular TV program like for 8 years, every week,
mm-hmm.
450 or 500 times that we put on TV.
Wow!
And that was a mega hit. And then they started, in the middle of it, they saw my live show
mm-hmm.
and TV show. And I'm a choreographer. I choreograph to mm-hmm. preserve what Rick and Guru Dan taught me
mm-hmm.
because I forget. But the only memory that I have with them is the not a really a lot of techniques in motion, silat and over to Wing Chun stuff, but the rudiment training.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I choreographed the rudiment, and then that's how, what you saw. And right. Everybody liked it very much because it wasn't too difficult.
You're right, yeah.
So then I made it like a live show, and everybody, I put everybody on the stage and performed. And oh boy,
that yeah, that's really, what I saw. Really, that was really
yeah.
Incredible.
Well, then ever since we've been doing that more than 25 years, you know. And then this coming August, we're going to be doing
a big
2024. It's a big one, yeah, coming up. So.
Wow. So how many people do you usually have in your
just about
like in your class, like a regular,
you know,
class, let alone an event? Yeah.
The place where we do the live show is it's a very well known live house. It's called Zeppu, mm-hmm. Osaka. But the capacity, because we move, is about max would be 1,000. So about 1,000
okay.
people
wow.
come here. It's all members mm-hmm. that over us.
Come okay, here. So that's members of your.
Right.
And is that because I know you have multiple locations too? So that's
right.
people coming in from all over the country.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so that's a once a year deal.
Wow.
And I make all the choreographs, and everybody learns it. And then they contest on the stage, and we decide who's number one.
Man, I gotta go see that. That sounds great. I mean, I'm thinking 120 yeah. people at Sea Lot Camp's a big thing. Let alone 1,000 people, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, that's the first session will be the regular members club members competition.
Mm-hmm.
That will be I think about 400 to 500 people. And then the other half would be just a professional demonstration of a choreograph.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be all together, and get quite a few people. It becomes like we select the good music and we choreograph.
Wow, that's really cool. So that's a lot of people really interested. So what is it?
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's MALMAG.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with the Uchino family. Coming up next week, I connect to Baltimore on Zoom and we talk to Joey Morata. Our Malmag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Krabiker Bong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the courses tab. More courses coming soon. Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you and click on the events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack L. Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.